Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Juneau residents say the city's sole electric provider's proposal to raise bills by 20% is not affordable. KTOO's Alex Solomon reports.
Alaska Electric Light and Power filed a rate increase case with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska last week, saying Juneau residents could see a significant spike in their electric bill next month, followed by another spike next year. The public comment period is open now. Douglas resident Linda Giguere commented on the case. She says the additional cost would hurt her wallet.
I mean, 20% is significant when your utility rates go up that high.
She calls it the icing on the cake of recent cost of living spikes, including groceries and gas. Giguere and her husband have lived in their 1,600 square foot home since the 1980s. A few years ago, they made the switch from pricey oil to more affordable hydropower by installing an electric heat pump and radiant heating. Her most expensive electric bill within the past year was a little over $480 for the home's two units in January. Add a 20% increase, and a similar month next winter could cost her about $576.
Holy moly. I'm knitting a sweater.
She's retired, and although she and her husband have Social Security and pensions, she says the price hike could limit their ability to visit family in the lower 48.
It's not where I would like an extra $1,000+ to go a year.
Last year, AEL&P made $47 million in revenue, according to its parent company, Avista Corporation. The power company last raised electric rates a few years ago by 6%. That increase was based on costs in 2021. Between then and now, prices on many products AEL&P needs to operate have soared. Alec Mesdag, AEL&P CEO, says the rising cost of equipment and capital improvements created an annual $10 million hole. To fill it, the power company filed to raise its base electric rate by an overall 25%, which Mesdag says pencils out to a residential bill increase of about 20%. If the commission approves AEL&P's request, residential rates would rise a few percentage points more than commercial rates. Mesdag says that's because commercial customers are currently bearing a larger proportion of the cost for AEL&P to provide power.
Based on our cost of service study, it appears that commercial customers, large commercial and small commercial customers, are subsidizing residential customers.
He says Juneau residents would still pay a lower electric rate than the national average, but he understands this is a substantial increase. He said the company is willing to guide customers to improve home energy efficiency and work with people who fall behind on their payments. The power company plans to raise rates in two phases. The first rate hike of 12.5% would start in June. The official public comment period closes on May 28, but the commission will accept comments submitted after that. The rate case is expected to conclude around August 2027. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And it's National Safe Boating Week, and the U.S. Coast Guard search and rescue teams in Juneau are asking residents to help prevent false alerts. A false alert is any time the Coast Guard search and rescue systems are activated when there's no real emergency. But responders still have to treat it like it is one, says U.S. Coast Guard Arctic District Master Chief Greg Slusher.
If we can't get a hold of somebody in a pretty timely fashion, we've got to assume that, you know, we're dealing with distress and we'll launch appropriately.
False alerts happen often in Southeast Alaska, according to the Coast Guard. And when they do happen, it takes up emergency response resources, which are already limited and can endanger Coast Guard responders. False alerts can happen a few different ways. In Southeast Alaska, unmanned kayaks and paddleboards are often washed out onto the water, and someone reports it as a possible overturned vessel.
If we get that reported to us, we have to assume somebody was on it and fell off of it at some point. And so we're going to open up a search and rescue case and look into that further.
Slusher advises people to write their name and phone number on their kayaks and paddleboards so that emergencies can be ruled out quickly if the boat slips away accidentally. The Coast Guard also responds to emergency beacons or satellite communicators that have been triggered accidentally. Slusher says that's one reason why it's important to keep emergency position indicating radio beacons, or EPIRBs, registered and up to date.
We've all probably had our phone go off, and the next thing you know, you're calling 911 by accident. The best thing is to follow up and say, hey, I'm sorry, this is an accident. No harm, no foul.
Slusher says anyone can call the Coast Guard to report an accidental false alert at 1-855-406-8724. And as always, he advises people to share their boating plans with loved ones. A group of Alaska veterans traveled to Washington, D.C. last month to visit memorials built in their honor. The trip was also an opportunity to reflect on what it meant to come home from America's past wars. For Alaska Native Vietnam War veteran George Lindhoff from Hoonah, a proper homecoming came decades after his service. KTOO's Lisa Fu has more.
When George Lindoff returned to the U.S. in 1971 after fighting for his country in Vietnam, he was not met with a warm welcome. Instead, there were anti-war protesters.
First time we landed in San Francisco, they were cussing at us, spitting at us, carrying signs, saying baby killers.
And there weren't just protesters at the San Francisco airport. Police were there, too.
In California, the police were looking at us like we were going to attack them, protesters.
Lindoff may have physically left Vietnam and the war, but the war never left him. Lindoff's brother, James Lindoff, who died in 2024, was also drafted and sent to Vietnam. The war had a lasting impact on both of them.
You try to forget what happened over there, because you were not raised to go out and be killed.
More than half a century after he returned from Vietnam, Lindoff had the opportunity to revisit that chapter in his life, this time with the goal of healing. In April, Lindoff joined a group of veterans from all over the state, and they went to D.C. through an organization called Last Frontier Honor Flight. The volunteer nonprofit sends veterans to the nation's capital to visit monuments and memorials built in their honor, at no cost to the veterans. While in D.C., though, Lindoff had a mild stroke and had to be hospitalized. He missed most of the trip, as well as the big welcome home in Anchorage. That's an important part of the Honor Flight trip, to give the veterans the welcome home they never received. So Lindoff's niece, Shannon Bible, made sure he still got one.
He's my uncle, my mom's brother. She would have done this if she was here. He didn't get the welcome home when he came back from Vietnam, so giving him something he deserves.
Bible organized something in Juneau, where Lindoff flew to before continuing on to Hoonah. She didn't have a lot of time to prepare.
I put a post on Facebook that I wanted to pull something like this off, and it was amazing how fast everything, on such a short notice, with the power of having Hoonah people here in Juneau, we were able to pull this together.
About 40 people gather outside the security doors on the second floor of the Juneau airport. Family is there, community members, friends, members of the Alaska National Guard, even local police officers. His grandniece is there with her dance group. They start playing as Lindoff appears through the security doors. A Last Frontier Honor Flight volunteer pushes Lindoff in his wheelchair, accompanied by his son-in-law, who went on the trip. Lindoff's right foot immediately starts tapping to the singing and drumming, his fingers braided together on his lap. He looks content. The crowd applauds. After the drumming and singing ends, people go up to Lindoff to shake his hand, welcome him home, and say thank you. The scene is emotional.
I'm real happy that he's getting some recognition, you know. He's real bashful, but I'm glad to see this. Yeah.
That's longtime friend Norval Nelson. He knew Lindoff and others from Hoonah who fought in Vietnam before they left and after they came home.
Well, it was pretty hard on all of them, you know, that went over there. And they were in the front lines because they knew how to hunt and track. And
Nelson says when Lindoff returned from war, he was quieter, less talkative, and more jumpy. After the crowd disperses, Lindoff and a handful of others move to the departure area for his flight to Hoonah. There, Lindoff says he was surprised that so many people showed up. He knew some people would be there, but he didn't expect the drumming and singing, the big production, the type of welcome home many think a decorated veteran like him deserves. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
The Alaska legislature is likely headed for a special session focused on tax cuts for the Alaska LNG project immediately after lawmakers adjourn today. Governor Mike Dunleavy says that's the plan if the legislature fails to pass a bill that would replace the 2% annual property tax with a tax on gas flowing through the pipeline. Here he is speaking yesterday at a news conference in Anchorage.
A message has got to be sent to leadership in Juneau that enough of the games, stop playing the games. Let's get this thing going. Let's employ thousands of people. Let's solve our problems. It's about solving problems.
Lawmakers and the governor had a deal on the table. The legislature would pass tax relief for the gas pipeline in exchange for Dunleavy allowing a bill restoring pensions for government employees to pass into law. The House spent hours attempting to insert tax relief for the gas line project into what, until Monday, had been a three-sentence bill. But the deal fell apart Monday night after lawmakers modified the bill in an effort to allow the North Slope Borough to negotiate its own tax agreement. Representative Robin Nitek-Freer, a Democrat and the only lawmaker from the North Slope, proposed the change.
I have to fight for my district, and I have to fight against... Everyone wants to pull the resources out of there to benefit the rest of Alaska. But you want to take away our property taxing rights.
But that was unacceptable to Dunleavy and pipeline developer Glenn Farn, which said it would inject too much uncertainty into the project and hurt its ability to get financing. The architect of the pension for gas line cuts deal, Anchorage Republican Representative Chuck Kopp, says the change effectively killed the bill.
The Kenai borough gave up their Title 29 powers on a far expensive LNG export facility to make this work. North Slope borough has not been willing to do that.
Lawmakers failed by a wide margin yesterday to override Dunleavy's veto of the pension bill. Dunleavy says he does not plan to offer a similar deal in a special session. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 45 degrees and raining. It looks like we're going to get some more rain tonight. Tomorrow, that may ease up over the course of the day, but it looks like it will return tomorrow night and carry us through the weekend. You're listening to KTOO. Thank you for tuning in.